Shalom liyudim, shalom lebnei Noach, shalom legoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day. El Gimel Ba'adar Beis, Parashas Pekudei, Tashin Pei, Dallas 5784. The evening of the third day, Tuesday, March 12, 2024. You're listening to Phantom Nation, a.k.a. the program. Coming to you from the people who have influenced other people as no other in human history. Consider the timeless periods in history when the goyim got crazy with Jew hatred. What other religious community triggers behavior like this against another people? Jew hatred is experienced as the response to news and belief of the Jews doing something so terrible to other people, hating them and wanting to kill them, then becomes justifiable. Even for Muslims, it's an act of Muslim piety. Mutilating, torturing, raping, and burning Jews alive has produced a fascinating phenomenon, I believe, the support Hamas now has among the woke, the left, the enlightened, who accuse Israel of genocide. And what a coincidence. That very word was invented to describe an historically unique event, the attempt not to conquer another people, to take possession of their natural resources and oppress them with taxes. No, the Holocaust was not about that. It was about the killing of every Jew alive in the world. And this is why it is wrong to describe what the Turks did to the Armenians in 1915 and beyond as genocide. The word is not a synonym for massacre. Let's be clear, Jews have no monopoly on human suffering. No Jewess raped by a German stormtrooper suffered more than the Armenian girl raped by a Muslim Turk. Still, the context in the two different situations was completely different. The Turks wanted the land on which these Armenians were living, and being cruel Muslim barbarians, they did not scruple as to how to drive them off the land. The Turks did not, like the Nazis, brand Armenians enemies of the human race that had to be exterminated, every one of them. No, the Turks did not produce anti-Armenian propaganda films liking Armenians to rats. The Turks said nothing of the Armenians elsewhere outside of that land, living in Asbury Park, New Jersey, or Fresno, California. They said nothing of them, no desire to wipe them out as a menace to mankind. I oppose official Israel ever recognizing what the Turks did to the Armenians as genocide for this reason. It is part of the anti-Jew armamentarium now, these days, to deflate the Holocaust as just another one of numerous genocides. Indeed, Obama installed Samantha Power as ambassador to the UN because she wrote a book on, I think, 9 different genocides in history, the Holocaust being just one of them. And so, by implication, what happened to the Jews was not so special as they claim, and of course, after the war, this had nothing to do with them barging into Palestine and stealing it from the indigenous ancient Palestinian people. The current Jew hatred accuses the Jews of committing genocide, when of course that cancels out any need to side with them against the Palestinians because of the Holocaust, well, not when they too are committing genocide just like the Nazis. Today, the Muslims, hiding behind their false national identity as Palestinians, accuse Israel of being an illegal, unjustifiable occupation of Palestinian land. That's what that Oscar winner the other night in California, Jonathan Glazer, the English Jewish playwright and now movie director, believes. He believes all the lies told about Jews, told by the Goyim, the non-Jews. In every generation, they tell lies, delusions, really, about Jews doing evil and act accordingly. The persecution of Jews in history was rarely a meaningless outburst, but in response to a belief in the demon Jews doing something really awful. So today, they are in occupation of land that does not belong to them. That's the way they think in the company of the woke and ignorant cowards like Mr. Glazer. He reminds me of those Jews in history who, when persecuted, chose to convert to Christianity or Islam rather than lose their lives. His performance at the Oscars, in which he received his prize for his movie, but chose the moment to make a statement about himself, that he does not identify with those Jews bent on exterminating the perverted human beings in Hamas who dreamt up that nightmare scenario. That's a terrible thing in his mind. And what did this politically correct fashion plate come up with? A miserable piece of incoherent English that he actually had written down. So one cannot excuse his bad English for the improvisation at the moment. It wasn't. He wrote it all down. And that's he's responsible for its incoherence. He seemed to be saying what I have heard many Gentile anti-Jews say, that because of the Holocaust, the Jews licensed themselves to do to others what was done to them. He spoke of the Holocaust being, quote, hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people, close quote. Whether the victims of October 7 in Israel or the ongoing attack on Gaza by the IDF, all the victims of this dehumanization, how do we resist, close quote. This cinematographic artiste cannot distinguish between the aggression on October 7 and the response of its victims, who do not want revenge but to prevent a recurrence of the behavior of October 7. These enemies of God, these Muslim monsters, have said they want to do that. They have said that they want to do October 7 again and again. And again. And here is this artiste equating all the victims on both sides, because he is an empty shell of a Jew, incapable of sympathy for just his own people, to the exclusion of others. Here's another item in the news on the same topic. The news out of Middlebury College in Vermont. There, the administration denied the Jewish students after October 7 to hold a memorial. And the reason? The poster advertising it about the Jewish victims was too parochial, too exclusive, not inclusive of others. But when some Muslim group later on wanted to get together to support their satanic brethren butchers, that was okay with the administration. I think what has happened in the universities is thimitude, historian Batya Orr's concept, which I understand to mean a form of mugging via menace. These college administrators want no trouble from their Muslim students, who have inherited from forefather Israel the spirit of an undomesticated jackass, basically a society in which thugs rule. Yahya Sinwar, head of Hamas, was nicknamed the Butcher of Khan Yunis for bumping off four of his rivals, for which the Hellenist ruling class in Israel, imitating Western Gentile culture, sentenced him to four life sentences, then let him out in the Shalit deal after only 22 years. Had they executed him at the beginning, there might not have been an October 7. So here was this Jewish peacock boasting not of his artistry, but his and other Jews, quote, refuting our Jewishness, protesting the hijacking of the Holocaust by occupation for so many innocent people, close quote. Jews like him, with their crippled identity as Jews, are incapable, just like the Gentile anti-Jews, of caring only about this people. One must never exclude non-Jews, you know. They're also suffering. That would be an example of being greedy Jews. Jews care only about themselves, you know. When historians of the future look back on our time, they may become curious as to the behavior of these professional actors in one of their numerous self-congratulatory award ceremonies, voicing their political views. And the award was for their acting, not their political views. But in this case, Glazer, opining on events here since October 7, that may be nothing but a cry for help on his part. He's afraid, perhaps, of being a Jew in England these days. He said he was refuting his Jewishness. Only the good Lord knows what he meant by that. It could be the coward in him. And he wants the anti-Jews to know they should not take him for one of those Jews who supports the wild, out-of-control, vengeful IDF indiscriminately massacring ancient Palestinians, acting like Nazis themselves.
Thank you. אוויר הרים צלול כיין וריח אורנים נישא ברוח הארבעים עם כל פעמונים ובתרדמת אילן ואבן שבויה בחלומה העיר אשר בדד יושבת ובליבה חומה ירושלים של זהב ושל נחושת ושל אור הלא לכל שירייך אני כינו ירושלים של זהב ושל נחושת ושל אור הלא לכל ושל נחושת ושל אור הלא לכל שירייך אני
was Yossi Azulay doing the beautiful Schindler's List theme song by John Williams. So, in thinking of historians in the future puzzling over our time, it will be interesting how they understand the support for Hamas in otherwise rational people, never known for being afflicted with the psychological virus of lunatic anti-Jew hatred. To be charitable about it, it may be a self-defensive reaction to being exposed to the events of October 7th that were so horrific. They hate the Jews for having a role in this monstrous episode. And without anti-Semitism, it never would have happened. Why do we have to know about it? At the Oscar ceremony, some of the people wearing mostly some pin advertising their support for Hamas, who did what they did to Jews on October 7th, with most of them presumably ignorant of its symbolism. The so-called Second Intifada began with the pummeling of two Jewish reservists, kidnapped by the barbarians, beaten so badly their faces were obliterated and their bodies had to be identified afterwards only via DNA. We did not see in the media photos of that time what they looked like, thank God. But we did see their murderers, one of them at a window in the police station where the murder took place, displaying his bloody hands in triumph, grinning like a maniac, hands dripping with warm Jewish innocent blood. That is what those who wore this pin were supporting. No matter their ignorance of what happened here in the Jewish people's holy city 24 years ago, they all surely know of the events of October 7 and still cannot bring themselves to side with, commiserate with, the Jewish victims of that eruption of evil on earth. They support the people, the culture, the religion that launched that invasion of thousands of sadistic, monstrously cruel Muslims. Oh, maybe I am wrong to think these supporters of the enemies of Israel are sufficiently apprised of the events of October 7. Still, what is at work here is this interesting psychological maneuver of anti-Jews who cannot focus exclusively on the injustice and cruelty done to Jews, on anti-Semitism exclusively. They must pair it with something else. We have to invent competing groups similarly persecuted. A week ago, Front Page Magazine posted an item on the state government in Washington State where anti-Jew activists want to add an amendment to a pending Holocaust education bill that will require the state to teach school children not only of the Holocaust of the Jews, but the Holocaust of the Palestinians that they have endured at the hands of genocidal Israelis. Whatever the Jews have, the Muslims covet and invent lies to justify their craving for what the Jews have. They had their Holocaust. Well, we ancient Palestinians had our Nakba. Yesterday, Palestinian Media Watch posted just how moderate, peace-loving Palestinian Authority spokesmen have stolen, my word, the Holocaust. Mahmoud Abbas, and rather Mahmoud Habash, who we have heard from numerous times in the past, the religious advisor to Mahmoud Abbas, in an interview said, quote, "It may be that what the Palestinian people is experiencing now was not experienced by humanity in World War II," close quote, implying it was worse. It is worse than the Holocaust of the Jews. They, the Israelis, quote, "are committing a worse and more criminal Holocaust against the Palestinian people." There you have it. One Palestinian National Council member also said, quote, "I compare Netanyahu to Josef Goebbels." And then there's Jibril Rajoub, who's been around forever. He said that the scope of the aggression against the Gaza Strip did not happen even in World War II. The Israelis are now committing a worse and more criminal Holocaust against the Palestinian people. There you go. That's what they have in their heads right now. And notice the chronic thievery. Every idea, every image, every vocabulary word here is lifted from Jewish history and experience. Holocaust, genocide, Josef Goebbels. One of the biggest obstacles to understanding the enemy is the chasm separating how the Judeo-Christian mind works and the way these Hamitic, Ishmaelitic people think. History for them is largely an opinion. The artifacts of history, the facts of history as evidence of events in the past mean nothing to them. History is whatever you want it to be. The events of 1948-49, the war here, to destroy the infant born-again Jewish state in the land the Jews and only the Jews brought back to life from desolation, that story has been retold, as Arabs want to believe about it, that Israel's birth was a crime against a nation known in history, the Palestinians. That nation certainly did not exist in this country in 1897 when the first Zionist Congress took place in Basel, Switzerland. With the Israeli Prime Minister here today and President here today perpetually remiss in never speaking of the history of the Zionist movement that brought this country back to life, an effort in which there was zero participation by any self-described Palestinians. Never a word by official Israel debunking the enemy version of history. A major obstacle to Israel strengthening its spirit is the inability to face the reality that these Arabs here are so different. Arut Sheva today reported on a story out of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. They're suspending a woman, an Arab lecturer in the law school, who denies that Hamas raped any Israeli women on October 7 and accuses Israel of genocide. I'm reminded of the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003, during which the army, U.S. Army, interrogated captured Iraqi army officers and were amazed at how often and easily they beat the polygraph lie detector. It's second nature with them. It's a variety of 24/7 taqiyya, lying, dissembling. Reality is what you want it to be. They are all just appetite unbridled by any fidelity to truth over falsehood, right over wrong. What is anti-Jew propaganda these days if not stealing people, words, ideas, images from the Jews? The Palestinian genocide, the Palestinian Holocaust. It is nothing but a behavior thousands of years old, prophesied in the Torah. Rashi teaches from 1,000 years ago that when Ishmael was expelled from this country, he went to live in the Paran desert with a weapon and became an armed robber. And that is whom the Arabs were for thousands of years to come into the 20th century. Centuries before Rashi, the Midrash no less tells the famous story of the Ishmaelites being offered the Torah but refusing it because it says, don't steal, when that is the parnosa, the livelihood of the lawless, nomadic Bedouin brigand. Indeed, Hollywood's famous state-of-the-art special effects movie in 1939 was called The Thief of Baghdad, based on 1001 Nights. Arab folklore, as a culture, has long celebrated and enjoyed the trickster and applauded his ability to steal. Indeed, in that film, the Indian actor Sabu stars as the lovable little thief. Islam is nothing but Yiddishkeit, purloined and perverted. that was Hillel Goldblum doing two verses from Psalm 42, verses 2 and 3. And you're listening to the program on PhantomNation.com. Yes, in the black heart of the anti-Jew imagination in our time is the persistent aggression against combating anti-Semitism in isolation as a uniquely Jewish experience, Jewish suffering. It must always be wedded to some other instance of bigotry and persecution. For Samantha Power and today's Palestinians, Jews have no monopoly on being the victims of genocide. They even engage in it themselves. Here's another interesting example. An assistant professor at the Columbia University Law School, where I did some of the research for my voluminous book, who happens to have been born in Israel, his name is Shai Davidai, he stood up for ripping into the administration's failure to confront anti-Semitism on campus, and now complains the administration is investigating him. It's harassment. He says a clear act of retaliation and an attempt to silence me, close quote. He says, quote, to say that civil rights of the Jewish students are being violated does not begin to capture what Jews and Israelis are forced to endure on campus right now. I abhor Islamophobia and prejudice of any kind and support the rights of the Palestinian Arabs. My problem is with Hamas and support for Hamas, close quote. Yes, indeedy, he abhors Islamophobia, which was invented to parallel anti-Semitism, and here apparently Professor Davidai validates this term. He seems not to know that the word is glot kosher equine excreta. Yes, Muslims everywhere suffer from Islamophobia, he seems to think, and never mind, this is a dishonest lie that there even is such a thing. The word means fear of Islam is baseless. There's no reason to fear Islam. That's what it means. And I say, yeah, right. Tell that to the 134 hostages, who likely are even less in number now, that anyone could side with the people who did what they did on October 7th, like the Hollywood peacocks, is an abomination. To take the side of Hamas against Israel after that date is evidence of some major defect in the brain. These pro-Palestinian celebrities are incapable of sympathizing with Jews for a horror the likes of which the Jews have not known since the war, and maybe all in all of history. The peacocks nod in agreement. Yes, it was a terrible thing, what happened on October 7th, but no less, the innocent civilians in Gaza being killed by the IDF, they're entitled to our support. This moral equivalence between good and evil is also somehow connected, though I'm not sure how, to the societal sickness of denying the differences between the sexes, the difference between healthy, normal, and natural sexual activity between a man and a woman, and what two men do to one another. Likewise, the wrecking of athletics for girls and women by the insertion of mentally disordered males who claim to be women, when that's impossible, for the word woman, that a U.S. Supreme Court woman judge could not define, is a human with a womb. That is why such a human is called a womb man. A society putting tampon dispensers in boys' toilets in public schools is no less symptomatic of society off the rails when it cannot know Jewish victims from their demonic, crazed Muslim tormentors.
שהאדם צריך לעבור על גשר צר מאוד, על גשר צר מאוד. ודע שהאדם צריך לעבור על גשר צר מאוד, על גשר צר מאוד. והכלל והעיקר שלו יתפחד כלל, שלא יתפחד כלל. והכלל והעיקר שלו יתפחד כלל, שלא יתפחד כלל. ודע שהאדם צריך לעבור על גשר צר מאוד, על גשר צר מאוד. אוי ודע שהאדם צריך לעבור על גשר צר מאוד, על גשר צר מאוד. אוי, והכלל והעיקר שלו יתפח את כלל, שלא יתפח את כלל. אוי, והכלל והעיקר שלו יתפח את כלל, שלא יתפח את כלל. שלא יתפח את כלל, שלא יתפח את כלל.
And that was Yosef Karduner doing Geshel Tzal, Narrow Bridge, from his Rebbe, Rebbe Nachman of Breslev. Okay, that's it for this weekly freebie podcast. For those who want three podcasts a week, please subscribe at phantom-nation.com. And if you're still subscribed after a year, the subscription becomes free. You might also want to check out what others have called the best book ever on the war against Israel. Some have called it a literary masterpiece. Phantom Nation, Inventing the Palestinians as the Obstacle to Peace. Until next week, I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa.